Hello, Grace Community Church of Bowling Green. Let's continue our journey through the Heidelberg Catechism. Last week we started question 21 and made it about halfway through. And this week, let's finish question 21 by answering the question, what is true faith? What is true faith? The answer the Catechism gives again is this. True faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in Scripture, it is also a wholehearted trust which the Holy Spirit creates in me by the gospel that God has freely granted not only to others but to me also, forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation. These are gifts of sheer grace granted solely by Christ's merit. So last week we looked at the first two phrases. Now it's the third phrase I want to draw your attention to, and it's this, which the Holy Spirit creates in me by the gospel that God has freely granted. So, true faith is not only a sure knowledge by which I hold as true all that God has revealed to us in Scripture, it is also a wholehearted trust, and here it is, which the Holy Spirit creates in me by the gospel that God has freely granted. So, the Holy Spirit creates it, and God the Father grants it. And for some reason, this is controversial in Christianity. It's a misunderstanding of who gives the faith and who exercises the faith. Evangelical Christians believe that we exercise our faith. And what I mean by that is we actually believe. We are the ones believing in God. God does not need to trust in God, but we need to trust in God. So that's clear. But what often gets neglected or overlooked or just flat out denied is the concept that God is the one who gives the faith. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates the faith in you, and that from eternity past was granted by the Father, so that would happen. There are a few passages I want to look at just to show you, you know, how clear it actually is that who gives the faith. So Matthew 16, verse 15 through 17, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" So Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Just another way of saying God the Father granted Peter to say that. Peter would have never come up with that on his own. And so Peter, to know that, to believe it, is for that to be true, and to trust in that for his salvation was given to him. Acts 16:14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to all to the things spoken by Paul. Who opened her heart? Well, God did. Well, thank God he did, because who else could? Well, Lydia, you know, she could have opened her own heart. Peter could have come up with that faith on his own. Lydia just responded to what Paul was saying on her own. No. Those two passages say the exact opposite. They say what the Catechism says, and that is the Holy Spirit creates the faith inside the person. The Holy Spirit opens the heart. God the Father grants that you could say those things. This passage sums the truth up pretty well. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So what is not of yourself? Salvation, faith, grace, salvation is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And so salvation is of the Lord. And verse 9 goes on to tell us why it's not us. "Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." All of this was prepared beforehand. This is where the Catechism implicitly teaches the doctrine of predestination, that the Holy Spirit is the one that creates faith in people, and not just in any people. You take John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." So all that the Father gives me. So notice, not most, but all. Once the Father in his love is set out to give you to the Son, you will then come to him. All that the Father gives me, that's the one that's given faith. that salvation of a sinner is certain because God the Father is the one giving it out. The Holy Spirit is the one creating it. Those that he gives will come. And those very ones that exercise the faith that was given to them to exercise come to Jesus, and Jesus will never cast them out. Never. Well, some say that, well, I'll just come to Jesus someday, or that God gives everybody a shot at this, or he gives everybody faith and it's up to you to make sure you use it in the right way. And but then this bombshell comes just a few verses later, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him or her. That makes sense. But you could easily say, well, the Father at one time or another will draw all people to himself. But then back up to verse 37 again, and that just doesn't jive, because remember, 37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws you, and all that he draw, all those that the Father gives to Jesus will come to Jesus. So if the Father draws all, then all will come. But we know that's not the case. He doesn't draw everybody in the entire world, because if he did, everybody would come, because verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And so basically a long way of saying that faith is a gift that is blood bought. And if one does not believe, it is because that person is not a sheep. Another verse out of John here, John 10:26. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So why do they not believe? Why does that person not believe? It's because they're not of his fold. They're not his sheep. And so how do you know if you have been given the gift of faith? How do you know if you're a sheep? How do you know if you're one of those whom he put faith into, that the Holy Spirit created faith in you? Well, there's pretty simple questions. Well, do you trust Christ's merits for your salvation? Do you hold to the teaching of Scripture to be true? Just those two questions alone would support the idea that your heart has been changed, because you wouldn't believe those things if that hasn't taken place. Because you would trust yourself for salvation. You would trust Christ plus maybe something else. But it says, do you trust Christ alone for your salvation? Do you hold to the teaching of Scripture to be true? Do you have this, when you come to Scripture, do you have the idea that whatever Scripture says trumps anything that I could come up with or believe, because Scripture is what's true. Christ is who done the work. And if that's the case, then you are predestined. You have faith, because we already know that it is those who believe are those the Holy Spirit has worked in to believe. The assurance of what God the Father granted and what the Holy Spirit worked to believe what God the Son accomplished is the strongest assurance anybody could have for their salvation. It's a triune, Trinity-based salvation, and nothing can stop you from receiving all the benefits of his blessing in his timing. So resting and receiving and then exercising that which God implanted in you, apart from anything you can do, that's faith. That's what makes faith humble, by the way. It puts an end to any such boasting. So why did you choose him? Why did you put your faith in him? Well, if you can't say he gave me faith, then you have to say it was something in you. That's the only alternative. It would be your superior intellect, your personality, your genes, your instincts, your something, you name it. If you put it in place of he gave me faith, then it didn't originate with God, it originated with you. And that is not true faith. That is not true faith, because true faith is created in us by the Holy Spirit. Another thing to take note of is that faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is not just, like we talked about last week, faith in anything. Faith is not even a cold intellectualism. Faith is facts, and faith is evidence, and faith is trusting in that evidence. And it's intellectually embracing a warmth of of our gentle Savior and all His promises. Not just some cold, fact-based intellectualism, but an intellectualism that drives you deep into where your heart then is moved and changed to trust in God. The Catechism wants you to see that your faith is personal as well. So that's the fourth phrase I want to look at, and it's not only to others but also to me. That phrase, not only to others but to me also. And the Catechism wants you to really embrace that your faith is personal, that it's believing that God loves me, that He gave Himself up for me, He died for me, He rose for me, He lived the perfect life for me. He is not just some general Savior for mankind. He is the Savior for those who place their trust in Him. And this conviction that God the Father sent His Son to live and die in my place, literally my place, me. And if you're a believer, then you. And Paul sums it up nicely with this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Faith is personal. Don't forget that. And quickly, the fifth phrase we want to look at here is that all the benefits come from Christ and His merit. And that's why it says forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation. Forgiveness of sins, eternal righteousness, and salvation are all gifts of faith. And we could add many more, you know, joy and delight in God's word, peace of conscience, confidence, hope, suffering even, love. God gives us faith, and then by us exercising that faith He gives us, we then receive all sorts of benefits from Christ's merit. And so next week, we will look into more of what the gospel is and where we can find comfort. And we're going to look at it in a place that maybe many of us are not familiar with. And we're going to start with this journey with the Apostles' Creed. So until then, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.